he was sitting at, and Taki's beside him. Everything looked okay. The coil was pressurized and ready to fire. Ranging laser ready. Electrical power in the green. Computer humming. "Looks okay to me, Taki," he said. "We're as ready as we'll ever be." She nodded. The only sign of apprehension on her face was the tightness of her lips. Without a word, she unlatched the covers on the amber arming and red firing buttons.
"So who was Annie Oakley?" she asked.
"Where are those fighters?" Colonel Christopher asked into her pin mic. O'Banion quickly answered, 30 miles behind us, 7 o'clock, closing fast." "Between us and the coast," Major Kaufman said. Christopher nodded.
"I wonder what their orders are."
"Shoot to kill." She almost laughed.
"Maybe not. Maybe they just want to shoo us out of their territorial waters."
"We're not in their fucking territorial waters," Kaufman grumbled. She clicked the intercom and called, "John, exactly how far off the coast are we?"
20 miles, Colonel, just like you ordered.
Actually, it's 22 just at this point. We haven't been closer than 20, though, not once."
"Do you have an accurate navigational fix on all that?"
"Yes, ma'am, I do."
"Pipe it back to Washington. I want our people to know exactly where we are, that we're not in North Korean territorial waters."
"Yes'm," Lieutenant Sharman replied. Kaufman gave her a sour look. "So they can drop a wreath in the water where we went down," he muttered. U.S. Route 12, Bitterroot Mountains, Idaho. Charlie Ingersoll knew he couldn't get lost, even in this damnable snowstorm. All he had to do was plow straight ahead down the road. The gas station was along the side of the road. His legs flared with pins and needles. His face felt numb. He'd never been so cold in all his life. But he slogged forward. The snow was almost knee-deep now, and it took a real concentrated effort to pull his freezing feet out of the stuff and take another tottering step forward. He thought about praying, but then he realized that it was the Lord who had put him into this mess. "Why?" he asked heaven. "Why me?" No answer. So he staggered on. "Step by step," Charlie said to himself. "Closer and closer." Somewhere from the back of his mind came the faint memory of some comedy act where a guy says that. Something about Niagara Falls. Step by step, closer and closer. At least Martha and the kids are okay. Even if the van runs out of gas, it'll stay warm inside for a while. It'll be all right. I'll get to the gas station and they'll come out in the tow truck they've got there and we'll all be okay. But you've got to get to the gas station first, said a voice in Charlie's head. He blinked against the snowflakes whipping into his face. Can't tell where the road is anymore. Everything's covered with snow. White, white, white every place. Maybe this is what heaven's like, he thought. Everything in white. Or hell. There were parts of hell that were freezing, he remembered from his Sunday school days, all snow and ice. Then he realized that there were snowbanks on either side of the road, left by the plows that had scraped the highway earlier. Stay in between the snowbanks, Charlie, he told himself. Stay in the middle. He plodded ahead, his legs like a pair of rigid boards that shot pain up along his spine every time he tried to move them. Lord, help me, he pleaded. You put me into this. Help me get out of it. Something coming up the road. Charlie saw a shape up the road ahead. A dark bulk moving through the blinding white, slowly, patiently.